Hey, what up? This is another episode of Wild Word. And this is your humble host, Tim. And you know what? You know, I'm loving this podcast, you know, but I want y'all to get in contact with me. So, you know, you can reach me on Timothy D. Williams II on Facebook. And you can reach me on Instagram, Timothy Williams 24 on my Instagram. All right. So what we're going to be talking about today for this episode is we're going to be talking about J. Cole's his new song, Snow on the Bluff. I've been getting a lot of reactions right now. A lot of people got a lot to say about it. We're going to break it down, and we're going to be talking about the NBA and should they come back, okay? So it's going to mess up the protest and all of that. So we're going to break it all the way down. Those two things on this episode of Wild Word. Hey, what up, what up on Wild Word? This is your humble host, Tim. So let's get into this first topic. All right, J. Cole, he just released a song called Snow on the Bluff, and he's getting a lot of backlash for it, you know. So we're in this time where there's a lot of protests going on, rightly so, protesting police brutality and racism and systemic racism. And his tensions are very, very much high, okay? Tensions are very high. And No Name, who I respect, she's an artist, she's a rapper from Chicago. She's very socially conscious in her music. She had a mixtape called 25 and another one called Telephone, which I thought were really good. But she pretty much is known for being very vocal about her opinion. And she pretty much was like, hey, where all these rappers at? You know, where all the Kendricks and the Coles? And she didn't call them out, but she was pretty much saying, where all the rappers that pretty much talk about black pain and black struggle in terms of racism and systemic racism in their music? Where are those socially conscious rappers at? We need y'all on the front line. We need to see y'all visible. We need to see y'all need to be more visible online. Y'all need to use y'all platform to at least send a tweet or something, a meme, or at least be out there, show your face, you know, because they have been very silent. We don't really see them, you know. We haven't seen Kendrick about 3 years, you know, since he released his album in 2017. So she like, where they at though? Where they at though? Where they at though? And I mean, I go back and forth with this, you know. I mean, I heard the song, and some people was getting on. They criticized J. Cole because they felt like he was trying to regulate her tone, and, you know, he was trying to say, oh, you know, you don't need to say it like this, or you don't need to say it, you don't need to criticize me like that. And here is pretty much the tweet that she said. She said, poor black folks all over the country are putting their bodies on the line in protest for our collective safety, and y'all favorite top-selling rappers not even willing to put up a tweet. And then she said their whole discography is about black plight and they nowhere to be found. But I mean, just because somebody's not online, I don't think that doesn't mean that they're not, you know, doing something behind the scenes, you know? So that's for one. And then number two, you know, I mean, in the song, I felt like he was being humble. He said, hey, I'm not the one you need to go to. You know, I don't have all the answers. You know, just because someone is really good in terms of music or they're a celebrity doesn't mean we need to go to them for social issues. You know, because one of the things I don't like is when if a celebrity, let's say it's not J. Cole, let's say it's someone and they speak and they don't know what they're talking about. And just because they have a lot of followers, they get all of the attention. So I think it was very humble for him to say, hey, I don't know. You know, I may not be as knowledgeable as you are on the topic, you know. So that's, you know, that's a humble thing to do, you know. And then when he talked about the quote unquote queen tone, I mean, I can understand that when you're talking to someone who may not be as learned, or they may have not read up on history, or don't understand what they're really talking about when it comes to a lot of these social issues. Because we talk about white people not understanding systemic racism, but newsflash, it's a lot of black people who don't understand it either. Okay, so whether because they didn't read, or because some of them didn't go to college, or some, or whatever the reason is, or even if some people went to college, they didn't read on systemic racism, so they still may not know. So, man, just because, yeah, so you can't just assume just because someone is famous or just because someone's black that they understand systemic racism. You know, you have some black people who flat out deny it, you know, and that's the people that I'll be going back and forth with on Facebook, and I'm trying to stop doing. I'm trying to not do that as much, you know. But it is frustrating. And it is frustrating when people just deny that reality, or people are not as quote unquote woke as you are. But I think in the song, he was pretty much trying to tell people, hey, you got to be a little bit more humble, or you got to show those people a little bit more grace, you know, in the way you talk to them. You know, and then, like I said, that's not, I'm not saying it's black people's responsibility to school every white person on systemic racism. No. But I am saying, in terms of the inside the black community, I'm saying we do need to realize that everybody is not on the same level of understanding and learning when it comes to these very complex issues. You know, so you can't assume that everybody has read and all of that stuff. And if they haven't, you know, it's a way to tell them without kind of making it seem like you're better than them or degrading them, you know. And it's an art to that. You know, it's an art to that, and it comes with humility, and it comes with grace, and it comes with love, you know. So, and that's something that I'm still really, honestly, still trying to learn to do, you know, because especially when we start talking about some of these very hot button issues, you know, it could be difficult not to like look down on certain people who don't agree with you on these issues, like people who deny systemic racism, even when we want to get into the LGBT issues, where some people just are homophobic, transphobic, a lot of that stuff, man, it's hard. I definitely don't like that, you know. So, but a lot of people are not learned, and you got to sometimes meet people where they are. But if they still want to be ignorant, then that's when you just got to cut it off, and you got to, you know, focus on the task at hand. You got to focus on getting rid of the injustice, you know. And another thing is, you know, if you study history, which I'm about to put my history hat on, this is nothing new when it comes to black community and when it comes to our community trying to fight against systemic racism and white supremacy. It's always been a conversation in our community is like of tactics when it comes to tactics. What's the best tactics to dismantle or to fight against oppression? You know, it goes back all the way back to Martin had one way of doing it. Malcolm X had another way of doing it. And even go back even before that, you know, when you had your W.E.B. Du Bois versus Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington he grew up a slave. He you know, he actually was a slave, and then he freed himself, and then he learned how to read, learned how to write, all of that good stuff. And then he pretty much was like, hey, the way for black people to get ahead in America was, don't worry about political rights. Don't worry about voting. Let's focus on getting this money. Let's focus on getting skills. Let's focus on being businessmen, and that's how we're going to eventually, you know, fight against or get out of white supremacy. Is that we're going to pretty much make our businesses and have economic security. W.E.B. Du Bois was like, no, we're not doing that. That's too accommodationist. That's too accommodating. That's too slow, right? No, we want full political rights right here, right now. That was W.E.B. Du Bois, right? And then you had Marcus Garvey, who was like, man, we out of here. We all black folks need to get out of this country and go back to Africa. You know, and W.E.B. was like, yo, where you come from? No, we ain't doing that, homie. What are you talking about? And they got into a lot of disagreements. You know, they didn't have Twitter, but they would write back and forth in the newspaper. They would write in the newspaper, and they would say very, very mean things about each other. Very mean things about each other. But both of them were still trying to fight against white supremacy. They both had just different tactics of going about it. WEB Du Bois was like, hey, we need to vote. We need to get the rights to vote. We need to try to, you know, get more black people in the system. We need to, you know, build businesses, all of that good stuff. But we need to have full political rights. Marcus Garvey was like, hey, man, let's get on the boat. Let's get back to Africa. We about to make our black nation. That's what we about to do. And it was even a little bit of a split between those two. And when it came to education, W.E.B. Du Bois came from, you know, he was a Harvard PhD, you know, and his experience wasn't the experience of most blacks at that time. Like I said, Booker T. Washington came from slavery. You know, he came from a W.E.B. Du Bois, on the other hand, came from a very affluent background. He was black, but he came from a very affluent background. And he was educated, you know, and he kind of somewhat looked down upon some of the other blacks who were kind of lower like not college educated or not like himself, you know, who did jazz and all of that stuff. He looked down on them. And then Marcus Garvey, yeah, so the NAACP had most of those type of blacks. And then it had a lot of whites, but it had most of those like college educated blacks. And then you had the UNIA with Marcus Garvey having mostly the working class blacks and even darker skinned blacks. So a little colorism there too. And they just did not like each other. But both of those organizations in their own way was trying to fight against white supremacy and oppression in America. You know, so both of them. And then ironically, at the end of his life, W.E.B. Du Bois ended up leaving America and going to Ghana. You know, so it's crazy. You know, so when we have these debates, we got to realize that we got to have them in love. You know, like we're not always going to agree on the tactics, but, you know, we got to understand that the real enemy here is the white supremacy and the system of systemic racism. That is the enemy. You know, and throughout history, sometimes we lose track of that reality and we start to aim at each other and we start to attack each other, you know. Like Malcolm X was calling MLK all types of Uncle Toms and all of this stuff. And, you know, it got real ugly. But at the end of their life, I mean, if you read both of them, they pretty much were starting to come closer and closer to the same thing. You know, they were starting to talk about similar things, you know, even with the class distinction. You know, Martin Luther King was more middle class background. Malcolm X, you know, went to jail. He had most of the lower working class black folk. So it's always been kind of like splits in our community, just like any other community, you know. But my thing is, what I'm urging is for us to keep the attention on where it should be, on the white supremacy structure and dismantling that, you know. So, but it's not, I don't see anything wrong with this debate, you know. And I like how J. Cole, he said, hey, I open it up, you know, hey, I open it up if I was wrong, you know, hey, let's hash it out. You know, now some people don't like the fact that he made a whole song. I think I heard like Eric's, or Earl Sweatshirt say something like that. But I mean, the song, I think it was really good though, because like I said, I even felt myself like that. Like, you know, I'm not a queen, quote unquote, but I did find myself like getting mad at other people and, you know, kind of looking down on certain people or getting upset with them, because even certain blacks, you know, some blacks who were like, oh, systemic racism doesn't exist. And that really angered me. You know, that really angered me. It was some black people saying that we shouldn't vote and stuff like that. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, so even though we disagree on stuff like that, I still have to, you know, respect them and then know when to respectfully agree to disagree and keep it pushing and keep it pushing and stay focused on, you know, the task they can. So all of us are going to probably fight the oppression in different ways. You know, we're going to fight it in different ways. We're going to have different tactics, and we just got to respect that. You know, we don't have to agree with everything, but sometimes we just got to agree to disagree and then keep the focus back on white supremacy and keep the focus on getting rid of white supremacy and police brutality. Right. So, you know, that's just my take on it. You know, but like I said, when I heard the song, I didn't think he was trying to police her tone and everything. And like I said, unlike me, I would have been like, man, who are you talking to? Like, you know, I was up in Ferguson. What you talk about? You trying to pull my card, you know? But I'm glad he didn't do that, though. He didn't have to try to prove what he did and all of this stuff. So, and that's what I'm trying to do. Like, he's just trying to be humble. He said, hey, check out her page. She's done a lot. You know, he ain't trying to tear her character down or nothing like that. So, you know, that's an example. I think this whole ordeal with the song and how he handled it is a good example of how we should do moving forward. So, okay, so that's one topic. Now we about to go to the next topic, the NBA. All right, so we doing the next topic. So the NBA, it's like, are we going to come back and play or nah? Okay, so like my last topic, you have a split in the NBA. So you got some people like Kyrie and Avon Bradley and Dwight Howard like, hey, if we go back to playing basketball, it's going to take the attention off of the protests, is going to take the attention off the issue of police brutality in the country, because everybody is going to put the eyeballs off of that protest and off that issue, and they're going to put it on how many points someone scored after game one or game two or in the playoffs or something like that. So they think that playing basketball on one side of the coin, the Kyrie's and them in the world saying, hey, let's sit out the rest of the season and, you know, keep the issue on social justice. And then you got people like LeBron, I'm guessing, and other people like, and I'm guessing the owners saying, nah, we ain't about to do that, man, because we're going to lose a lot of money if we do that, okay? But I think also LeBron was also saying, hey, we can do both. Like, we can play and we can still keep the momentum on police brutality and trying to hold police accountable and trying to do something legislatively on police brutality. So he's saying we can do both. And, you know, I'm showing my bias, but I mean, you know, for LeBron, because, you know, I'm a LeBron fan, but I actually do agree with him on this topic. I think, like, if you go back to the night, you know, I got to put my history hat on, but the 1968 Olympics with John Carlos, and they did the Black Power sign at the podium when they won, you know, the medals, that was a moment, you know. So I think they're going to get more exposure, probably way more exposure than they have now, just sitting home actually playing basketball. And then, you know, they can keep it on the front news. They can wear the shirts, they can talk about it after the game, and yeah, I think it's going to give them a much larger platform, you know, because they're going to talk about it, the commentator's going to talk about it. And the players, they can still talk about it after the game if they want to. They control it. They can still control the media. You know, so, I don't think it's going to take focus off of it. That's just my opinion, you know. But I do appreciate this conversation. Like I said in my last, you know, in the last segment, you know, it's just this conversation of tactics and what's the best course of action to fight against racial oppression and, in this case, police brutality. This is nothing new in the history of Black folk in America, okay? We've always had different tactics and different ways of going about it, but, you know, I just don't want anybody to be personally attacking the individuals themselves for holding their views on these type of topics. I want us to always keep the focus back on dismantling police brutality and keeping that in the news and keeping that not only in the news, but let's start working towards some legislation and keeping pressure on the legislators to make real change, you know. But yeah, but me personally, like I said, I think they can do both, you know. And like I said, the biggest thing, though, is really to make sure that COVID, you know, that's the biggest thing. Because I saw a story where it talked about Larry Nash Jr. He plays for the Cavaliers, and he was like, I think he has already a pre-existing condition. So that's what I would be more so worried about, you know. I'd be more so worried about that. So, yeah, you know, I hope everybody is safe, because, like I said, at the time of this recording, they're saying that, hey, like, the coronavirus actually going up in a lot of states, and especially in Florida, where they're supposed to have the game. So I just hope everybody is safe on that front, you know. But if everything is safe, you know, I would love to see basketball, but I don't want it to be at the expense of no one's life. So, you know, so that's just my take on it, you know. But I do appreciate all of these conversations that's going on. So, like I said, get back at me. Timothy Williams 24 on my IG. So hit me up. I want to hear what y'all gotta say. This been another episode of Wild Words.